quite good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. That's just top shelf all the way around there. All right? That's a good deal. That's your offering you didn't put in? I'm just kidding with you, kind of. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Joshua, Joshua in chapter number 3. If you'll find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there. We'll read a verse of Scripture from that chapter to get started off with. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord, and the free pardon of sin. It's good to be able to read about these Old Testament characters. And do you realize and know they got saved the same way you and I did, by hearing the word of the Lord, believing the word of the Lord, and acting upon that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. All right, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you now for the good gospel singing that we've not only enjoyed as a congregation, but in listening to special music. We praise you and thank you now for these you've granted another year to. And Lord, may we serve the Lord many more years together. May you find us busily occupied about your business when you so come again, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I will preach on this day the Lord magnified Joshua. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that Joshua had been chosen by the Lord to be able to lead Israel into the promised land. And you remember that going into the promised land is not going to be an easy task. It's going to be met with a certain amount of opposition, and namely the king of Jericho and the people of Jericho. And let me tell you, they've done been hearing. They've already heard from a distance of many years what God had already done to other armies and other kings and so forth and on. And you'll find they've straightly been shut up, got a wall built around them. And the reason being is because they're afraid for their lives and afraid from the power of God that they've heard being manifested in those soldiers of Israelites. I guarantee you right now, you're going to hear every now and again about that now, about other people that are afraid of them Israelites and about Israel and about their standing army and their ability to be able to fight. Now, let me tell you, they're not the most on the face of this planet that's got a nation. In fact, is they're few in number. And God does that so he can show how powerful that he is with just a handful of people. Whenever God gets ready to do something and whip somebody, he's not looking around to see how big his army is. He already knows. I guarantee you right now, he can take care of it, no doubt about himself. I think about that one angel God sent over there in the days of Sennacherib, killed, what, 180,000 with one angel. That's a lot of killing, buddy. In the lesson that we're looking at, they'd already heard about it. We talked about and preached here, I don't know, a time or two ago, about Rahab the harlot. Remember that? She had heard about it. She said, I already know that God is going to march through the land and you'll be victorious. And she told them two spies that Joshua had sent in. I want you to make a promise to me about my father and mother and sister and brother and my family, those on the inside of my house. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that now here this morning, that Joshua, he rises up early in the morning. And there they are. They came to Jordan and they've laid there and they've camped there and they've lodged there, if you please, for 3 days. And so point number one in verse number 3 of the text that we've been reading here is that they're camping on the banks of the Jordan. They're waiting to go on the other side where Jericho is and the land that they're about to accomplish and about to conquer. And notice that, if you will, please, is that they've lodged there. They're looking there. And, you know, not easy. It's not an easy task to always be where God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do. I've asked Brother Ron this week, who's been having to take it easy, how are you doing? I feel fine, but I'm bored. Well, that's how we are. You're not bored if you got ice outside and there's a good fire in the fireplace and you're 72, you're not really worried about needing to go anywhere or do anything. There's a baby there that ain't bored. Let me say to you that, if you will, that we are prone to get bored. So they've lodged there for 3 days. Don't you think there's probably some Israelites thinking, hey, if we're going in, let's go. Now, I don't know about you, this camping out on the bank of the Jordan is enough for me. And notice, if you will, that number two is that in verse number two, you'll find out there are going to be some instructions concerning their travel. Now, you and I that are here this morning, we're saved by the grace of God. We've been looking forward to coming down to the house of God. And let me tell you something, is that the next time that you wake up and it's Sunday morning and you're all frustrated, aggravated, and you're thinking, oh, my, it's Sunday morning again. Oh, I'd like to just stay in bed. Think of all the good times, smiles and fellowship, handshakes and hugs that you're going to miss by not being down to the house of God. And that's not all of it, friend. Let me tell you, what about the praising God together? What about the praying, beseeching the Lord? What about presenting our petition? What about collectively magnifying and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? I'm going to tell you, people miss that. I miss a lot by not coming to the house of God. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, in verse number two, that the officers, after 3 days, they run down through the host. And there's a host of them there. And here's what they're doing. They're commanding the people. And notice, if you will, they're saying, when ye see the ark, don't you move from here till you see the ark move. And let me tell you something, every eye this morning ought to be upon the ark. That's where the presence of God was manifested. That's where the power of God was demonstrated. That's where the path of God was being able to learn to, when he wanted you to move, where he wanted you to move, how that he wanted you to move. Let me tell you right now, is if you're trying to come to a decision in life and you're not very sure about what you ought to be doing, you better not do anything until you find out what God's doing. You better make sure that you know what God's going to do. I'm always telling people, you know, and sometimes doubts arise in their heart and their mind about being saved and this and that. And I'm always telling them, don't make any kind of commitment to God till you know what God's trying to do for you. You go to guessing at the will of God this year, you'll be guessing next year. And you'll find out, you'll guess the rest of your life. Make no mistake about it that God has got a demand, God's got a command, and God has got a path. And here's what he said, when you see the ark of God move, go after it. Look at that, if you will, please, in verse number three, in the last phrase. Wherever you see God moving, that's where you are to go. You know, I was thinking in the day and hour that we're living in, is that the closer the coming of the Lord, the fewer and fewer people that you're going to find that'll preach the word of the Lord. The fewer and fewer people you're going to find is going to believe the word of the Lord. You know, I was just thinking, my wife and I were talking, and we've been privileged now to be here and to be with you folks. It's been our privilege. And coming up in June, it's going to be like 28 years. Isn't that right? This coming June. And let me tell you right now, I've had many people up and down the road of life. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? They can't stand their preacher more than about 2 or 3 years. Why do you think they're changing so often? I know some people that ought to change right now and get away from the dead head and the dead bunch and the dead leader they got, but they seem to like that. They seem to like it. I got to tell you right now, but I've known people, and some of them have since died and left this world. I had a kinfolk of mine tell me one time, "Ooh, man, I don't know if I can listen to the same preacher for that many years." I said, "That's why you're ignorant. That's why you're so ignorant of the word of the Lord." You know what? You ever notice why the average Baptist church is why every new preacher comes in has got the same little format? It's going to be a whole lot about soul winning. Going to be a whole lot about trying to build things up. Going to be a whole lot about, and let me tell you right now, they're never going to get into where the Bible came from, why we've got the Word of God, so forth and on. That's the reason why now that you'll find, I mentioned the other day that the BMA, the Baptist Messing Around, Baptist Missionary Movement of America, that's why that they've started using a different version, a New King James or whatever they want to, and it'll finally go from that to down to down to down. In fact is, we ordered the Sunday school material that we borrow and that we use as a format out of the ABA, the American Baptist Association, that split from the BMA back in 1948. But I said, did you ask them? I said, I forgot to tell you. You better ask them. They're still using the old King James Bible. And that lady was perky and said, oh, yes, we really are. Yes, we are. I remember when the BMA people would tell you that, but now they're not. I got to say to you that, if you will, that what's sad about it, the average independent Baptist don't know why he's using the old King James Bible. I got to tell you something, is that you better keep your eye upon the Word of the Lord and upon the presence of God and the path of God. And whenever the ark of God moves, I want you to go after him. Now, notice number three in this lesson, you better follow in your place. Now, you know, you don't just blindly just run up boasting and presumptuously to the presence of God and the ark of God. And I guarantee you right now is that that fellow by the name of Uzzah that tried to steady the ark on the cart that had the milk cows pulling in, they chose the wrong manner, and as a result, whenever he reached forth to keep it, when those oxen stumbled, God killed him right there. Remember that? God's very particular about how we follow, why we follow, and how close we are. Notice that he told them in this passage that we're looking at, he said, I want you to be able to go after it, but yet, look in verse number 4, yet there's going to be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, which means it's about 1,000 yards, if you please, between them and the ark. Don't you get any? Everybody's going to have enough room to be able to see and know which way the ark is going. I want to tell you something, fellows. You and I better keep our eyes upon the ark of God and the presence of God and the path of God so we'll know how to lead our family. And let me tell you right now is it's not ever going to be popular with the rest of the world whenever you lead your family in the things of God. But let me say to you that everybody here was able to see at a distance, and they were able to be able to notice that, hey, that's the men that's been appointed by the Lord carrying that ark upon those staves like he appointed it, and they're going to be going and carrying the ark of God, and everybody knows is that we're going to keep our eyes on him and follow where he's going, and we're not turning right or left unless the ark of God and those carrying it do. Now, I'll tell you something about that. You know the reason being? Look in verse number 4, if you will, please, of that chapter. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it. Notice that you may know the way which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I'm going to tell you something. All you men and women and boys and girls that know the Lord, keep your eyes upon the path of God and the power of God and the presence of God. He's carrying us places we've never been before. Every now and again, something will come up in life, and you're thinking, I wish there was somebody around I could ask about this deal. I've never been here before. And let me tell you right now is whenever you and I are headed toward heaven, there are going to be some places he's going to lead us. Do you ever notice whenever you got saved, you just thought you knew a little bit about the devil till you got saved? And when all hell broke loose, you really recognized who he was. You know what? God's carrying you back past a person you didn't know existed. You didn't know he had you blinded. You didn't know he had you captivated. You didn't know that you were headed to a place called hell, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, where the worm never dies and the fires never quit. You never knew any of that till the day you got saved. And there was a great trial of faith and a fight of your... Listen, do you realize, Adon, is that after that you were illuminated, there was a great fight took place on the inside with you? It's been fighting ever since. I want to tell you something. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Wherever you're going that you've never been before, follow the Lord. You'll get there all right. Number 4 in this lesson here, notice what he said there in the chapter when he told them. He said, I want you to sanctify yourselves. You can read it. And that means collectively, that means everybody entirely, that you're to set yourself apart and set yourself aside and to be sanctified on the morrow because the Lord's about to do wonders in your sight. I begin to think about whenever we were looking into this chapter that's here, and as we look there in chapter number 3, look in verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, you know, that'd be a good practice every Saturday night. Every Saturday night. I mean, you know, if every Saturday night I could sanctify myself, I would hate to just drag off to bed. Worse, I hate to drag out of bed. It's not so very hard to do that when you've sanctified yourself and you know that there's a purpose involved to not only worship the Lord in spirit and truth, but to be able to lead your family and to impress your kin folks up and down the road of life. Now, I want to tell you something. You've got to be real careful about yourself and about your testimony, not so much around me, but around your kin folks. You know, you mess up around me, and I slough it off. I've messed up plenty of time for both of us. You mess up around one of them religious but lost heathens, friend, and they'll never forget it. And they'll be glad for you because they'll show you that you're not Mr. or Miss Hot Stuff after all, and they'll know that they're more normal than what you made them feel like before. You got to be real careful to sanctify yourselves, and that means set apart yourself unto God, and to be careful. It won't take but once. I mean, they just won't. Hey, all these boys and girls that are here, you're going to work around some of the most God-cussing heathen people you've ever been around in your life. They're not just going to be saying a few nasty things. They're vulgar. They're vile. They're godless. They're wicked. And let me tell you right now is, the more godly you are, the more wicked they're going to act. I can promise you that right now. And what you need to recognize and you need to realize, just takes one time. If they can get you to smoke one cigarette, drink one beer, take one sip, if they can just get you one time to do something they'd like to see you do, you'll never have a testimony with them from now on. It'll be gone. See what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you right now is that, hey, I cut up and go on a whole lot with my wife and all that business there. But even around her, I got to draw a line somewhere. And she's probably thinking in her mind, I wish I could see it. I don't think you're seeing the line. Some of you know like that too, don't you? I'm just telling you that around us as children of God is that's one thing, but if you're going to go out and to be able to serve God and walk with God in the path of God, you're going to have to sanctify yourself, because if you're not careful, you'll give in that one time. And it won't accidentally come upon you. You know, I've never sinned since the day I got saved that I didn't know it was going to be sin. I didn't all that. They don't need to stop and try and explain and lying to me about it now. You already got it committed. Why lie about it? You ought to see it. If you're a child of God, you saw it before it happened. I just wanted this flesh to feel good one time. And then it didn't. You ever notice how when flesh don't feel good and you give it its way, it bites you anyhow? Now it's browbeating. I said all that. Joshua tells them, I want you to sanctify yourself. Listen, we're gonna do something. God's going to show you something tomorrow. You ever hear anybody whenever they come to church, well, I ain't getting nothing out of that, because they didn't sanctify themselves to get ready for tomorrow. If you're not careful, you'll miss a lot of wonders that God would have showed you. Number 5, verse number 8 of our text, when you begin to look into it, he said, I want you to stand still in the Jordan. Look at that. Verse number 9 and 10, he said, I want you to hear the words of the Lord. Come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you. He without fail will drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, Havites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. I'm going to tell you something, is that here's how you can tell that God is in your presence. He's going to drive out some of these heathen, idolatrous countries and these people that are contrary to the mind of God. Hey, do you know how to tell that this one nation we live in under God has become a nation without God? Now, because we've got every religion, we've got every infidel, we've got every pervert, we've got every idolatrous worship going on in the country. Listen, their absence showed the presence of God. And to Israel, he said, you can tell when I get into that land, I'll without fail drive every bit of that out. But then we got to wanting to feel sorry for people like that. In the lesson, verse 11 of our chapter that we're looking at, he said, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, look at it, passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, here's what I want you to look at, and I want you to see that behold, the ark of the Lord. Let me say it again so you'll know it. When you see the ark of God, you're looking at the presence of God, the mercy seat upon which he would meet with Israel. You're looking at the power of God, but he has admired. You're looking at the path that he was leading the people of God by. I want to say to you that he's not only the ark and the presence and the God of Israel, but he's the God of all the earth. Look at that passage there. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Now, all the earth doesn't want him. All the earth doesn't acknowledge him. But let me tell you, he's a God. Besides him, there is none else. And let me tell you, all the rest of the world's in the mess it's in because they've got their own man-made God. I want to give you a passage real quick, Isaiah chapter number 45. Isaiah chapter 45, it's about verse 18 in that chapter that's there. We'll begin reading there, and here's what he says when you begin to look into it. He said, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself hath formed the earth, made it. He hath established it, he created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness and declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves, come and draw near together, and ye that are escaped of the nations that know knowledge, that have no knowledge, and set up the wood of their graven images, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, and yet let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, and there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." You know what he said? All them people that had those idols, whether it be wood, whether it be stone, whatever that they had made, he said, what you'd better do is get rid of all of that. There's no God beside me. That's what he's talking about in Joshua. When the ark of God, it's the ark of all the earth. And if anybody's going to see the presence of God, they're going to have to look at God's man, the Christ child, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died over 2,000 years ago on the cross, bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished. All right, last but not least, I want you to look back in your text and we're going to be done. But in verse number 16 of that same chapter, now the ark of God and the people that were carrying it and the people that were following and marching, when they got into the water and dipped their toe in the brink, it began to stand up heap upon heap. And the Bible said in verse 16, "And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in the very heap far above the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea, the plain, even the salt sea, and failed, and they were cut off. And the people, notice, passed over right against Jericho." Now, they're not going to have to march. They're coming right in by it. And let me tell you right now is that if you want to get to where God intends for you to be, then what you better do is keep your eyes on him and stay in step with him and recognize that the ark of God is for all the world, and it don't matter where you're from. And let me tell you, you ought to trust the Lord. Have you trusted him? You ought to walk with him. Are you walking with him? Listen, you ought to realize and know that you're on solid ground. I'm not on sand. I'm not building my house on sand when the storms come and the rain descend. I'm not going to have a great fall. I'm going to have a great stand because I'm on the right foundation. I hope that's your lot as well. I wonder this morning, do you know him? I hope you do. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. Saved and to know thee and the free pardon of sin. I pray your blessings on every man, woman, boy, and girl. We pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be faithfully occupied about your business so when you come again that we're not ashamed at thy appearing. Help us to be a good example to our kids, to our grandkids. Help us to lead them in a way and the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray.